Hey Siri, starte die Karten-App.
Dancer. Bei uns im Dorf gibt es die Hauptstraße und eine Dorfstraße. Um da was zu finden, braucht man doch keinen Stadtplan.
Doch Tessa, Bess erklärt heute nämlich im Podcast, dass man mit Plan deutlich besser reitet.
Hallo liebe Hypomaniacs, ihr seid auf Trab, dem Podcast für alle pferdeverrückten Freizeitreiterinnen und Fahrerinnen. Auf Trab zu Gast ist erneut Beth Baumert, eine sehr beeindruckende Pferdefrau aus den USA. Beth gründete die amerikanische Dressurzeitschrift Dressage Today. Sie ist trotz Pferdehaareallergie Dressurtrainerin und bildet in ihrem Stall in Connecticut Pferde bis Grand Prix aus. Ich habe mit ihr über ihr Bestsellerbuch How Two Minds Meet – The Mental Dynamics of Dressage gesprochen, in Deutsch im Kosmos Verlag erschienen unter dem Titel Zwei Körper, ein Gedanke – Die Stärke der mentalen Verbindung. Der erste Teil unseres Gesprächs ist am 1. April bereits erschienen. Wir sprachen über Balance und harmonisches Reiten. Nachhören lohnt sich. Ihr findet den direkten Link zur besagten Folge in den Shownotes. In dieser Folge geht es jetzt darum, wie wichtig es ist, beim Reiten einen Plan zu haben. Sei es beim Ausbalancieren des Pferdes, beim Trainingsaufbau und so weiter und so fort. Das vereinfacht Reiten ungemein und verbessere die mentale Verbindung zwischen Pferd und Reiter, so Beth. Viel Hörvergnügen wünschen die Welchis und Podcast-Host Julia Kistner. What are the main differences to horse psychology?
Well, there's the left brain, of course. We're such good thinkers. We have this wonderful filing system in our brains. And the left brain, I like to think of as something, as the kind of thinking that the horse can't read that mind. Mm-hmm. It's important, as we know, that we learn things the right way first, because unlearning is so difficult. But the left brain is all about thinking, and that's what we use the most. The right brain is that non-thinking dynamic meditation that we talked about earlier. We go to the place where the horse is in a positive way. And luckily, since we're mentally supposedly the greater being in our partnership, we can tick-tock between the left brain and the right brain. We can be totally present while we're riding, but also in the back of our minds be thinking in that mind that the horse can't read, that, oh, he might be a little tired or take a break now.
How do I get the best of the two worlds, the left and the right brain, so that I can get this state of consciousness you call zone, channeling the positive emotions?
Well, I think one of the things that many people have to overcome is fear. There's fear with reason and fear without reason, but it doesn't matter. They're both fear, right? And they're both handicapping. One of the things that I recommend for that, if you're a teacher and you're teaching someone who is afraid, or if you are the person, if you are the rider who is afraid, I like to think about task-oriented riding. That means you tell your student or you tell yourself, okay, I'm going to go down the center line and leg yield to R. Then when I get to the corner letter, I'm going to canter. And then A or C, I'm going to circle 20. And then I'm going to trot it when I get back to C. And then I'm going to walk here. And then I'm on the diagonal. So you have a plan. Mm-hmm. And it's, and you, first of all, that super makes you the leader, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're doing this and now we're doing that. And when you're focusing on that, you don't have so much time to think about.
So it makes sense to work with patterns for the horse and also for the riders.
Yeah. And then there's another kind of fear, which is fear of failure. I think of mental toughness. Some people really want to know the truth, and they don't have any ego about it at all. And their point of view is, the sooner I know what's wrong, the sooner I can fix it. Right. I remember there's an American ex-Olympian who, I remember her going down the long side, and she didn't have anybody to help her. This particular situation, she looked at a total stranger and said, "Would you tell me if my horse is straight here?" You know, she didn't care about appearing vulnerable. She was just in love with the truth. I think, let's see, there's a lot of answers to your question. Control the controllables, mm-hmm. for example. I can't do anything if it's pouring rain. I can't do anything about the rain, but I can look at the footing and decide if I'm going to ride or not, right? You can't control certain things. You pay attention to the principle of readiness. Like, if you're really good at first level, this is in American terms, because we have first, second, third level and so forth. Mm-hmm. But if you're really good at first level, you know, you're not going to do too badly at second. But you might be, it might be ugly at third, right? So make sure your goals are reasonable. Some people make goals that are too challenging or that aren't challenging enough. Other things that get in the way is the mind that goes crazy, right? The one that keeps you up at night, that's going here and there and the other place. And that needs to be tamed.
And how do I tame it with structure?
Yeah, again, that horses are complicated, but theory is simple. It's simple to remember the training scale. Mm-hmm. And really, that is the recipe for success. End of story. Mm-hmm. And there's you could write a book about every single element in this six elements in the training scale, but the structure of it, the infrastructure of it is simple and and incredibly helpful. To think of, oh, I can balance my horse. There's only three ways I can balance my horse. You know, that's simple. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily easy. It's not easy to do shoulder four and half halt and transitions, but it is simple.
Wichtig ist also, seine Ängste zu überwinden. Und wie macht man das? Durch zielorientiertes Reiten, sprich ich reite mit einem Plan oder Übungen im Kopf. So hat man keine Zeit, über Ängste nachzudenken. Obendrein übernimmt man mit einem genauen Übungsplan die Führung und gibt damit seinem Pferd auch Sicherheit. Und dann gibt es noch die Angst vieler Reiter, Fehler zu machen, dass etwa beim Turnier etwas nicht funktioniert. Dazu hat Beth auch einen Tipp. Control the controllables. Ich kann zum Beispiel nicht verhindern, dass es beim Ritt regnet, aber ich kann, wie beim Autofahren, das Tempo an den Wettergegebenheiten anpassen und mir auch realistische Ziele setzen, Übungen also, die ich auch erfüllen kann.
I think other ways to get in the zone you mentioned, imagination. Imagine yourself as, I love Lendon's story about, Lendon Gray is Olympian from the United States. Mm-hmm. And she was teaching a young child on a pony. And she wanted her to look really, to sit up and really look the part. So she said to the little girl, "So would you rather, I think, what a cute little pony, what a cute little rider on a cute little pony. Or would you rather I think, wow, I feel like I'm looking at a future Olympian?" And the kid said, "Of course, I'd rather you think of me as a future Olympian." So I was there. The whole lesson went on and Lyndon was making fun of the kid like, "Oh, what a cute pony." And but by the end of the 45 minutes, this kid was sitting like a future Olympian. It was really impressive. So 2 weeks later, the little girl's going to down the center line at a horse show. And she was thinking to herself, "I want to look like a future Olympian." And believe it or not, the judge, who had no knowledge of this story, wrote at the bottom of the page, "I feel like I'm watching a future Olympian."
Und dann sei es auch wichtig, ein höheres Ziel sich vorstellen zu können, das ich erreichen möchte, um nicht auf einem Reiterniveau zu verharren. Um zur Harmonie zurückzufinden, empfiehlt sie Schulter vor, Schulter herein und Übergänge und auch auf die Reaktion, das Echo des Pferdes also, zu warten, bevor man die nächste Lektion verlangt.
And listening to your horse. We're used to thinking that we listen with our ears, but riders listen with their bodies, don't they? And it puts you in a receptive, open place. Like you have active aids, during which time you're saying something, and you have passive aids, during which time you're listening. Mm-hmm. And it's like a conversation. Active aids, listen. Say something, listen. Say something, listen. Conversation is a skill, isn't it?
Yeah.
At a party, have you ever, you've talked to somebody probably who just goes, talk, 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 talk. And you get tired of that, right? And then you go looking for someone else to talk with instead of being talked at. So speak and listen, speak and listen.
So you always have to wait for the echo of the horse if you give an aid.
That's a super nice way of putting it. I love that.
And now the crucial question, how do the two different minds perfectly match, the horse and the rider?
I think the conversational aspect of communicating with the horse is super important. A good listener is curious and he or she wonders and speaks respectfully and kindly and listens. And has another thing that we haven't talked about is intention. Here's an example. If you do something without intention, you don't get any results. For example, I'm going to use myself as an example. I bet I did yoga for 10 years without actively intending to become more strong and supple. And I didn't become more strong and supple, but I didn't get worse. I didn't get worse, but I didn't get better.
Even though you were exercising.
Exactly. Exactly. So when I realized that, and I realized that because of writing this book, the nature of intention, was I really intending to become more supple and strong? I really actually wasn't. I was just hoping for the best. And then later, I try now to do it with intention. And I am getting stronger and more supple. And I'm much older, by the way. So it's interesting. In the book, one of the most important stories is the one about Reiner Klimke's long-term goal. That kind of intention isn't boastful. It's very quiet. It's very powerful, but I should tell the story. And it's important to know that the story happened in 1982. And my husband and I, we had been at Aachen videotaping, as I told you. Mm-hmm. And so we had the opportunity to meet him and his wife, Ruth. And so they invited us to their house, and their house is covered with glass cabinets along the walls, and there are trophies and memorabilia. It's like a German dressage museum. And so there was this one place in the middle without anything. And it was obviously empty. And my husband said to him, "Why is that empty there?" And he said, "That place is for when I win the individual gold medal in Los Angeles in 1984. And of course, we all know now that he did win that medal. And it's, imagine his intention, powerful for 2 years to be imagining his gold medal in this place, in his living room. It's a powerful story.
Yeah, it is. So
many years later, I returned and to visit Ingrid Klimke because I was bringing some young writers to Europe. Mm-hmm. And I told her this story and she didn't know it, but because she was very young at the time. But she said, that sounds just like him. But the whole story is really about the power of intention.
Intention. So lessons learned, every training, each exercise has to have any intention.
Well, exactly. Thank you for putting it that way, because, for example, why are you doing that leg yield? Are you doing just the leg yield because you're supposed to do a leg yield? Or are you doing it to improve your connection? Mm-hmm. Are you doing it to improve his suppleness? Why are you doing that shoulder in? Because when you're done with the shoulder in and go through the corner and on the short side, your horse should have a better trot. And think about that. Is the trot better as a result of that wonderful shoulder in I did?
That was really important to mention, intention. Thank you, Beth.
Wir müssen also immer etwas wollen, sonst erreichen wir auch beim Reiten nichts. Eine nette Story von Beths Besuch beim Olympionik Reinhard Klimke, der sich in seiner Medaillengalerie einen freien Platz für Olympiagold reserviert hat und das dann auch erzielt hat und das gleich mehrfach.
And finally at the end, could you give us a practical tip how a suitable study plan looks like?
Yeah, this is another example of something that's not necessarily easy, but it's simple to break it down this way. And I think all good teachers guide their riders in this way. I think at least 10 minutes of walk before, maybe even before you get on, but at least 10 minutes of walk under saddle too, that this gives the horse's joints, makes them lubricated, and reduces the chance of injury. And walk, I think, uses every muscle in the body. So it's a wonderful way to warm up. Also, if you make a habit of, for example, if you have a problem like looking down, mm-hmm. you can use this walk to discipline yourself to, for example, go all the way around the arena, or all the way around if you're outdoors, wherever you're going, never looking down. Mm-hmm. If you're used to doing this, then when you pick up the reins, it's going to be a lot easier. So that's number one. The second session is about 20 minutes of warm-up, mm-hmm. that your horse develops his rhythm in a relaxed way, working through the back, a little stretch if you can. Some horses have a hard time stretching in the beginning, mm-hmm. so maybe that's not included. It depends on the horse. But transitions, trot, canter, trot, canter, trot, canter, are the best way of connecting your horse. So one is the walk, two is the warm-up, trot and canter. Three, take a break. Assess. How did it go? What does my horse feel like? And that will determine what you're going to work on for the day. Maybe the connection isn't exactly what you wanted, so maybe you're going to work on transitions, or maybe he's not quite right in the right range, so maybe you're going to do some little leg yielding on a circle or on a straight line, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's going to be an easy day because he doesn't feel quite up to par, or maybe he had a couple of days off, so you're going to take it easy. Or maybe he had a rough day yesterday. He worked really hard, so you want to give him an easy day. All of these things matter. And or maybe he feels absolutely fabulous, so you'll give him a challenging day. You'll work on something new that's a little bit more challenging. So that's number three, is assessment. And number four is choosing those exercises based on your assessment. And then number five is cooling down, stretching, walking again. So this is just an example of how organization helps your mind, whether it's the three ways of balancing your horse, whether it's the training scale, mm-hmm. So I call it the pyramid of training, whether it's this simple five steps to every ride. It takes what's innately complicated and simplifies it.
Beth, Aufbau einer Trainingseinheit kann man sehr detailliert in ihrem Buch Zwei Körper, ein Gedanke nachlesen. Was mir besonders gefällt, ist ihre Empfehlung, den so wichtigen Schritt am Anfang, am langen Zügel, zu nutzen, um an seinen eigenen Reitunzulänglichkeiten zu arbeiten. Wenn man beispielsweise viel auf den Boden schaut, dann kann man sich gezielt im Schritt darauf konzentrieren, nicht auf den Boden zu schauen. Auf die Schrittphase folgt dann eine 20-minütige Aufwärmphase, wo das Pferd seinen Rhythmus finden soll, sich eventuell auch schon etwas dehnen soll und wo viele Trab-Galopp-Übergänge geritten werden, damit man eine Verbindung zwischen Pferd und Reiter gut aufbaut. Die dritte Phase ist dann eine Pause, in der man reflektiert oder bewertet, wie es dem Pferd heute geht, wie es drauf ist. Entsprechend überlegt man sich dann, woran man übt, und wenn es etwa die Verbindung ist, die zum Pferd nicht so gut funktioniert, dann reite ich eben viele Übergänge in der Session. Oder das Pferd arbeitet sehr gut mit, ja, dann überlege ich mir eine forderndere Aufgabe und so weiter. Die Phase 4 sind dann die auf die Tagesverfassung entsprechend abgestimmten Aufgaben. Die Phase 5 ist die Abkühlphase, wo man im Schritt das Pferd sich dehnen lässt.
Simplify, yeah, Beth. This is what I love at the Americans. The language is simpler than the German language, and also your book is really very structured and simplified. So even though it has very complex topics inside, but it's really easy to understand. So I say thank you that you took your time.
Well, thank you so much.
Und wenn euch diese Auf Trab-Folge gefallen hat, ja, dann würden meine Welchis und ich uns über eure Unterstützung unseres Podcast-Projektes freuen, indem ihr Auf Trab auf YouTube, Spotify oder der Podcast-Plattform eurer Wahl liked und am besten den Podcast auch gleich abonniert. So könnt ihr auch keine Folge mehr verpassen. Vor allem aber bleibt auf Trab bis zum nächsten Samstag. Wie gesagt, Übungen und Trainingspläne findet man bei Beth im Buch Zwei Körper, ein Gedanke. Und wenn ihr euch und euer Pferd dressurmäßig weiterbilden wollt, dann hätte ich für euch noch einen tollen Veranstaltungstipp. Am 27. bis 29. Oktober kommt Horst Becker aus Hamburg in die wunderschöne Location Festschloss im Schlosshof in Niederösterreich eingeflogen und lehrt uns klassische Reitkunst. Sehr stilecht in der kaiserlichen Reithalle. Dafür muss man aber nicht auf Lizenzniveau oder so reiten. Horst gibt Einzelunterricht und holt uns dort ab, wo wir gerade stehen, unabhängig auch, ob du Western oder Englisch trainierst oder mit deinem Easy eingeritten kommst. Wer dabei sein möchte, als passiver oder aktiver Teilnehmer, kann sich bei uns per E-Mail julia@auftrab.eu melden oder einfach mit einem Kommentar sein Interesse bekunden. Wir, das sind Dancer, Velvet, Tessa und Podcast-Host Julia Kistner, freuen uns auf euch.